Hello, and welcome to The Wash, a special edition podcast we call The Impeachment Inquiry of Donald J. Trump. I'm Alyssa Royster.
And I'm Molly Fazer, coming to you from the School of Communication Graduate Journalism Program at American University in Washington, D.C.
Come to order. Good morning, everyone. This is the first in a series of public hearings.
And with that, a new chapter in American politics begins with public hearings. The House Intelligence Committee heard from its first witnesses with nothing less than the presidency at stake. In day one, State Department officials William Taylor and George Kent testified for more than 5 hours about concerns that President Trump pressured Ukraine leaders to investigate rival Democrats and withheld military aid to the country. Democrats are investigating whether those requests were linked as they move towards an impeachment vote. President Trump again called it a witch hunt and said he didn't watch. However, lots of the public was interested.
On Capitol Hill, thousands of people waited in long lines to try and get inside the hearings. Our Mariah Espinoza and Cami Gregorian were on the scene on a bitterly cold morning as the public took turns to witness history in the making.
Even though temperatures are in the 30s, it didn't stop the public from waiting in line to get a first look of the impeachment inquiry. People traveled from all over the country to get an inside glimpse of the hearing. The line to get in stretched all the way down Longworth Building's hallway. Traveling from California, one woman named Ann Kofelt lined up at 6 a.m. to witness the historical moment.
Felt that this was an opportunity to see the cast of characters that I follow religiously on television. I wanted an opportunity to see for myself what it was like and to be a part of the public, since it's a public hearing. I wanted to be a part of that. It's history. It's really history.
Another person from California who didn't want to disclose his name says he's a political junkie and couldn't miss the moment.
Oh, this is the momentous day. I mean, you'll never see this again in your lifetime. I mean, he might actually be removed from office. No president has ever actually been removed in the impeachment process. This could be a first. So we'll see what the Congress does, whether the senators have a trial or it just turns into a circus or what people do.
While some people came from the other side of the country, others used the occasion for educational purposes. Goucher College professor Dr. Nina Therese brought her class from Baltimore, not knowing the date she chose would fall on such an important hearing.
Usually once a semester, I bring them down for congressional hearings. So back in summer when I selected November 13th, it was just the House was going to be back. They weren't in district. They were going to be here. And so we selected it and turned out to be the first day of the impeachment hearings. And so collectively they decided, even though there's probably no chance we're going to get in, we're at least going to try because this is historical.
While the crowds were large, they were well behaved, but security still had to calm down some demonstrators. I'm Mariah Espinoza, and our Cami Gregorian has more on what that was like.
Thank you, Mariah. Some people used the hearing as an opportunity to demonstrate against the Trump administration. Reading the Constitution out loud, one woman was asked to lower her voice by Capitol Hill police.
Voice not to disturb their conversation.
But if you,
I'm not here to disturb.
That will be considered demonstrating.
I understand.
Thank you.
Alessandra Mandolfi, sporting a sweatshirt that read, Arrest Trump, voiced why today was important to her.
It's a historic day. It's the first day of the public hearings for the impeachment of President Trump. And as a citizen of the United States, I feel the need to use my First Amendment right to voice my opinion, to let as many people as I can know that we support the impeachment process.
Demonstrators were not only found inside, but also in front of Longworth's building entrance. Colorado native Stephen Parletto was holding a large sign that read, Your vote is the only antidote. The sign was an outline of President Trump's head made up of snakes. Parletto stood outside in the cold, voicing his opinion.
Well, I'm terribly concerned about this, what I perceive to be a truly criminal presidency and its influence not only here at home, but abroad as well. And I want to just do my my small part to encourage people to vote, to use their vote this time around. It's just so important.
Today's first impeachment hearing definitely drew in quite the crowd. Cami Gregorian, Washington.
On this first day of televised public hearings, it's the first impeachment in the lives of young college students. We sent our Ikechukwu Mbagwu to American University to see if the digital generation dialed into coverage.
Inside a student center on the campus of American University, televisions played the hearings. However, few students seem to pay attention. That could be because the hearings can be so easily accessed on their personal digital devices. Graduate student Maya Ramdreno says she needs more information before she makes a decision on the impeachment.
I think there's a lot of information that still needs to be sorted out. And I think this being day one, there's a lot of information, a lot of back and forth. I think the information on the conversation regarding Ukraine's president and President Trump is out there. But as far as what it means and what was the real goal, intention of that conversation is yet to be determined.
However, other students already had their minds made up on the need for impeachment. Justice and law major Monica Canepa says the president should be held accountable for his actions.
I'm not against the impeachment at all. I mean, it's pretty clear from the ambassador to Ukraine's testimony that Trump is doing, I mean, he's abusing his power. He's holding the United States' support of Ukraine, whether like specifically like military support, over Ukraine's head and forcing them to do investigations into Joe Biden. I'm paraphrasing here, but the ambassador pretty much said that through his actions, and it's clear that President Trump cares more about the investigation into Joe Biden than he does about the entire country of Ukraine.
Similarly, journalism major Terrence Kane says that the president's actions have finally caught up to him and that he's getting what he deserves.
The idea of holding any president to account, especially one who just blatantly thinks it's their ability to circumvent Congress, that puts all of our co-equal branches kind of in jeopardy, because can the president also ignore a Supreme Court ruling, etc.? I will say I'm a little biased. I campaigned against Trump, so I don't have a completely unbiased opinion. But I do think that regardless of a president's party, if they do something wrong, an impeachment is the reasonable response.
Meantime, political science major Jackson Goldstein decided he was going to be late to class in order to watch this historic hearing.
It's important to be like an informed citizen, you know, of democracy. Like, I think that I read the news a lot, and like I like catching up on things. Like, it's not just that I'm into it, it's that also I think it's important to be a knowledgeable citizen, you know, like these are things that every American should care about, no matter who you are, who you support, who you vote for. Like, it's just general sanctity of our democracy.
It's clear that the hearing has rallied a lot of different emotions from students at American University. With the impeachment process still intact, many students just want an opportunity to witness history. Ikechukwu Mbagwu, Washington.
Coming up next, a behind-the-scenes look at media coverage and where to find impeachment coverage on podcasts. You are listening to The Impeachment Inquiry of Donald J. Trump.
The televised public hearings are drawing massive media coverage on all television and cable networks. C-SPAN serves as the camera feed source. Normally, they use 3 cameras during congressional hearings. However, for this impeachment inquiry, 7 cameras will capture the action. 2 cameras will cover the chair and other members of the committee. 2 cameras are positioned on either side. 2 high-level cameras for panoramic views of the room. And of course, 1 camera is centered on the witness. Our Leona Dunn has more on the media coverage of today's hearings.
Around 7 a.m. this morning, I went to the Washington Bureau of the Associated Press, the largest news gathering organization in the world. Walking into one of the oldest top leading news organizations, I ran into Dan Huff, a cameraman on his way out toward the Hill, who told me this was his 2nd impeachment. I asked him what was different this time around.
It was very frenetic. Now we have a very reduced staff because we rely a lot on pool coverage. It's still hard charging. But the dynamics have shifted as far as staff coverage for this particular impeachment.
Since it's been a shorter period of time, has the time affected how it's been covered?
This one does have the feel of more compression to it, whereas we were chasing elements off Capitol Hill. This time, because it's a congressional inquiry, we're mainly on Capitol Hill.
Regardless, the confined space, Huff says,
it's still pretty intense. It's more crews than I've ever seen on Capitol Hill, even during the Clinton impeachment.
Good. Do you guys have a beauty
shot? I then walked into the newsroom to speak to AP's managing editor, Lisa Matthews, wanting to know more about the difference in media coverage. She was behind the scenes during Clinton's impeachment.
So in 98, I was actually the all-news radio editor for the Associated Press, for AP Radio.
Since you worked in radio, you understand how radio coverage was differing from today. What do you see that people are doing now against what they were doing back then?
Well, now that I'm on the other side and I'm doing television, I can just tell you that the primary difference between when the impeachment was happening with Bill Clinton and this impeachment is social media and the way the television networks are set up.
Back in 1998, new news networks were just popping up. Like CNN 24-hour coverage was getting popular, and Fox was literally just born 2 years before.
It hasn't changed so much for radio, in my personal view. I just don't see it that way. Although we have access to more ways of getting sound than we did back then. We certainly have more with the podcast. There was no such thing as a podcast back in, I think, was that 98? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so it's very different now.
Impeachment coverage altogether for AP has changed drastically. With so many shared news feeds now in place, the workload is more between the reporters and the control rooms, not the entire staff.
I would say that in terms of the mood, you know, you got to speak with one of our cameramen a little bit ago, and the pace is not as frenetic for us internally because we are getting things from pool feeds.
AP's current radio producer, Greg Pepper, stopped and joined our conversation.
I think the thing that's different now is the internet. When you were getting to social media, it's so much more widespread now, right? Back in 98, it was just on the cusp of being, it wasn't as widespread. It was new. People didn't really grasp it, right?
During the 90s, we were just being introduced to email.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you have to, I mean, it's completely different.
Yeah.
We have jumped, miles.
Oh, yeah.
We were miles from where we were.
Oh, yeah. There was no live streaming in 98 of these hearings, and I know I couldn't get it on a mobile device.
No.
I don't even think I had email on my phone. I was carrying around a flip phone.
I think that was the time of Blackberries, right?
Right, that's true.
So there were Blackberries, but there was no such thing as a smartphone.
Right.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
So it's completely different now. Yeah. So
you can watch it where you are and in real time through streaming. That is different in terms of the media landscape.
Yep.
And that's going to be a factor today as well. You don't have to be sitting in front of the TV to watch these series.
Right.
Yeah.
Wrapping up, Matthews told us an angle AP would be covering around impeachment today.
We have plans today to send out crews across the country to watch people watching or not watching the impeachment, because the fact that they may not be watching the impeachment hearing is just as newsworthy as the fact that they are watching it. Do you follow me? So I don't know, we're just going to have to see it play out today.
Leona Dunn, Washington.
In today's world, citizens are able to hear about major news of the day via television, radio, the web, and something new since the last impeachment hearing, podcasts. In fact, the on-demand medium is now a very popular form of news consumption. Our Elise Dean is here to guide us on what is out there and who is doing impeachment podcasts. So Elise, podcasts are quite popular?
Yeah, Molly. So there are 750,000 podcasts as of this year, and they cover a wide variety of topics from politics to true crime. And there are at least 9 podcasts dedicated specifically to covering the impeachment today.
Wow, that is a lot. So which do you suggest for just getting started on the impeachment?
Well, if you're looking for just the basic information, I suggest the podcast called Article 2, Inside Impeachment. It's by NBC News, and it breaks down the complicated information of the impeachment and tells it in an interesting way. Episodes are released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so expect some great episodes after today's hearing and Friday's hearing.
Yeah, that does sound really interesting. I'm pretty well versed on the impeachment so far, so what about a podcast that helps me think about the deeper implications of the impeachment?
Sure. So The Daily by The New York Times is the number one podcast in America, and they really make you think about the bigger picture. The Daily covers a lot of different topics, but does dedicate some episodes just to the impeachment. Their latest episode was about the impeachment and had a very special guest named Leo.
Do you know where that phrase comes from, whistleblower?
Oh, because, for example, in sports, if someone does something wrong, like breaking the rules of the game, they would blow a whistle or something like that, and
right.
They would say, "You can't do that, that's wrong."
Right.
Yeah.
Today, The Times announced a new spinoff series dedicated just to the impeachment, so you might hear more from Leo in that series. It's called The Latest, and their first episode drops tonight.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to give that a listen tonight. And are there any podcasts out there that differ from Article 2 or The Daily?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So Steve Bannon, the former White House chief strategist for President Trump, launched his own podcast called War Room Impeachment. The podcast has a slight bias against the impeachment, as co-host Jason Miller explains.
I mean, the bottom line here is that Speaker Pelosi and the House Democrats have caved. The pressure is getting to them. They have decided that they have to go and take this. But, I mean, the fundamental question everybody should be asking right now, especially our friends in the mainstream media, if they're just now taking this vote to start impeachment proceedings, what the hell have they been doing for the past month?
Bannon's podcast is released every day, and all podcasts mentioned in this episode are available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Well, Elise, let's go back to the basics here. How do you find a podcast like the ones you mentioned?
Sure, that's a great question. Most podcasts are completely free and accessible by the built-in app on your phone. You can subscribe to your favorite shows on the app and create playlists if you listen to multiple in one day. Some podcasts also upload their episodes online to places like their website, Facebook, or even YouTube.
I'll have to subscribe to the ones you mentioned. Thanks for the helpful guide, Elise.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, Molly.
The televised hearings will continue on Friday with testimony from former Ukraine Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. She was abruptly fired in May after reports that she may have been disloyal to the president. She previously told White House investigators that she felt threatened by the president and is worried about her pension as she is close to retirement. The career diplomat has worked under both Republican and Democrat administrations. Then, when the televised public hearings resume next week, there will be three more days of testimony from eight witnesses, all of whom who have already given closed-door depositions. On Tuesday will be National Security Council aide Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vidman, former White House National Security aide Tim Morrison, Jennifer Williams, an aide to Vice President Pence, and finally, former U.S. Envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker. On Wednesday, the committee will hear from the U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, Senior Defense Official Laura Cooper, and David Hale, the State Department's third-ranking official. The hearings wrap up the following day with testimonies of former White House Russia expert Fiona Hill, expected to be a strong witness for Democrats. During the closed-door depositions, Hill described Sondland and acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney's dealings with President Trump's personal lawyer Rudy Giuliani and Ukraine as a drug deal. The committee's schedule may suggest Democrats are trying to finish the impeachment proceedings before the year ends.
This has been a special podcast edition of The Wash, the impeachment inquiry of Donald J. Trump, produced by the American University Graduate Journalism Program. Our team members, executive producers, Taylor Ardrey and Kayla Clark. Our reporters, Cami Gregorian, Mariah Espinoza, Elise Dean, Leona Dunn, Sayana Borchetti, Ikechukwu Ambagwu, and Courtney Jacobs. Our anchors, Molly Fazer and Alyssa Royster. Board operators, Ikechukwu Ambagwu and Mariah Espinoza. Music theme by Kevin MacLeod via Creative Commons. I'm SOC Professor Jill Olmsted. Thanks for joining us.